podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, June 13th, 2020. This is episode 1703. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast comes to you from TWiT's LastPass studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remotely. Visit LastPass.com/TWiT to learn more. This episode of The Tech Guy is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning. A lot of things are changing in our professional lives. With over 16,000 courses taught by industry experts, LinkedIn Learning is where you can get skills like how to master working from home, the foundations of entrepreneurship, or how to be a resilient leader, just to name a few. Try 1 month free at linkedinlearning.com/tech guy. And by LastPass. Prepare for the unexpected in your business with LastPass, trusted by over 17 million users and 61,000 businesses worldwide. Visit LastPass.com/TWiT to find out how they can help you. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Yes, it's time to talk computers, the internet, home theater. If your favorite nerd on the radio, digital photography. We'll talk about smartphones. We'll talk about smartwatches. We'll talk about augmented and virtual reality. We'll talk about the new Sony PlayStation 5 gaming machine. Oh boy! I'm sorry. I'll contain my excitement for moments. I have been an Xbox guy for a while, long time since the first Xbox came out. So that's almost 20 years. 20 years. Before that, let's see. My first game box. Do you remember your first game machine? You never forget your first, do you? My first game machine was the Atari VCS. You know, with the cartridges. What a junky thing. In hindsight. Those are the dumbest, silliest games. My problem was, and this is, what is this, back in the, well, I don't even remember, 80 maybe, huh? I used to go into a pizza parlor named the Chuck E. Cheese Pizza Time Theater. You remember it? It's still around. It was founded by Nolan Bushnell, who was, coincidentally, the founder of Atari. And he... after leaving Atari, started these pizza theaters that had animatronic bears and stuff singing and performing, like the band would come out. But I didn't care about that. And the pizza was awful, awful. But I didn't care about that. Still is awful, by the way, in my humble opinion. Some may like it. But the reason I would go there is to play the video games. They had arcade games. Oh, man, I love those arcade games. I would get off work at the radio station around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, finish up. I guess the boss isn't listening anymore, I can be honest. Run out the door and run over to Chuck E. Cheese with my roll of quarters, because you had to put a quarter in each time you played the game, and I'd play games like Asteroids. That was fun. Galaxian, Galaga. Missile Command, fun games. But the one I really loved was a tank game. It was a vector graphic game, so it was a little different than the others. And I had figured out how to beat it. So I could play for a long time with one quarter. I remember that. But after a while, it got tiresome going over, hearing the raucous din of the robot band playing in the background and smelling the terrible pizza. And I realized, boy, I'm probably spent hundreds of dollars and quarters on this place. I should probably buy a game machine, the Atari 2600. Came out in 1977, so this must have been around 78, 79. 40 some years ago. And it had little cartridges. And it had, oh, man, remember there? Well, you don't remember because you probably weren't even born. But those of us of a certain age might remember the games like Pole Position, which was a driving game, Dopey. Dopey because, well, it was all the thing could do. It was a very limited device. Or Night Driver. That was an even better one because they didn't have to do any graphics at all. It was just a dark screen, and you'd see the lines of the road coming at you, and you'd have to stay within them. It's been as primitive as you can get. But you know what? They were kind of fun. Atari Adventure, which was the first Easter egg in a video game. If you found a special room, you could see the initials of the programmer, who was very anxious, I think, to get credit. Atari famously didn't give their programmers credit. They didn't want them to become superstars. They did it anyway. So I got a little tired. Oh, Zaxxon. There you go. Knox Harrington, our chat rooms reminded me. That was one of my favorites, Zaxxon. You were flying a plane over an aircraft carrier and landing strip and stuff. It was kind of a 3D effect. It was very cool. That was state of the art, man. Atari 2600 couldn't do that. So I got an Atari 400. That was a little bit better. That was actually a computer, but it had a membrane for a keyboard. It was the worst. So I got the Atari 800. Wow, that had a real keyboard. Still had cartridges, but you could actually buy, at great expense, a cassette recorder that you could sometimes load things in from and sometimes write programs and load them to that, although it failed often. It would make that sound as it was writing audio to the cassette recorder that would then be converted into the bits of the program. It was a very haphazard technique, but it was cheap-ish. What was expensive, I remember it cost hundreds of dollars, was getting a floppy disk drive for that Atari. Now, by this time, I realized my habit is getting way out of control. That's when I started writing for computer magazines to support it. That's what happens, right? You get an addiction. You gotta start dealing to support it. And so that's what I started writing reviews and for games and stuff in the Info World and Byte and the Atari magazines. Oh man, those were the days. That's how it all started. Why did I bring this up? Now I've lost the thread. Anyway, oh yeah, PS5. Fast forward 40 some years. Now the games, you're playing a driving game. Sony released video footage and the first pictures of its PlayStation 5, which is coming out this Christmas, this week, a couple of days ago. And, oh, man, people are, oh, they're drooling. The driving games, like, what is the big driving? Gran Turismo, I think. That you could actually be on a track. Amazing. They're so vivid. They're so real. Looked like some great games. It also came, I'm happy to say, that I thought Sony wasn't going to do this with a Blu-ray UHD player. So now that's my excuse. Oh, honey, I need a Blu-ray UHD player so we can watch movies on our TV. The 4K TV needs a special player. So I have an excuse now. Man, those games look good, though. What's interesting is the technology that's going into these new video gaming systems. Microsoft will have its updated Microsoft Xbox Series X around the same time. It also is pretty darn impressive. These things are more powerful in many ways than a computer. In fact, it's the easiest way to play a game. Most of them now no longer will have discs. They'll just be downloaded. Microsoft talked a little bit about that this week as well. Digital downloads the future. People have a lot of bandwidth, so they can do that. And these games, they're so vivid. You don't even have to put on the VR, although, of course, Sony has its PlayStation VR, and now you're really in there. You're in the game. You're in it. Can't get up, though. You got to stay seated. Otherwise, you'll fall over the coffee table. Come a long way since the Atari 2600. Wow, the video game console. That's 40 years ago, and now here we are 40 years later, and they're pretty vivid, pretty real, pretty amazing. We live in interesting times, just in time to be locked at home. unable to go anywhere, we now have a game machine that simulates real life, because pretty much that's all we got. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536, toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, outside that area. Please call. But, you know, we had a call from Johannesburg, South Africa. That was so cool. And all you have to do is use Skype or something like that that'll let you dial landlines. Skype out is what they call it in Skype world. But some VoIP thing that'll let you dial landlines. It shouldn't cost you anything. 888-827-5536. When I talk about things, when we answer questions, James DeRuvo, my scribe, is writing even as I speak. That's why I'll speak slowly for you, James, and putting all that up there on the website, which is free and open to all, techguylabs.com. I do not charge for access to the website. I do not. Techguylabs.com. In fact, there's even a place you can leave comments there. We have a chat room going at all times, irc.twit.tv. You're welcome to join us there. I think that's all I need to plug. I think that's it. I think it's time to take a break. And when we come back, our first calls, Kim Schaffer's right there. She's answering the phones in the dark right now. I see her in the dark. They could turn on some lights for Kim. Poor Kim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, you're backing up. I'm going to back up. We're going to get the show on the air right after this. It's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, she showed up once again. I keep waiting for her to finally go, oh, the heck with it. Kim Schaffer, the unbreakable phone angel. Hi, Kim.
It'll probably be more like another flat tire than me actually trying to avoid coming here.
I saw that Triple H come, though. Boy, he fixed it for you. I love that.
He was here in 1 minute flat.
He was so quick.
Yeah,
that was nice. Well, they got nothing else to do, I guess, these days. Well, nobody's driving.
No, that's not true.
People are driving again.
People are driving again.
Yeah.
Yeah, the traffic is definitely back.
I read an excellent article. I posted it on my blog because I thought it was so important that it's a peer-reviewed scientific study in the National Academy of Sciences proceedings that said after much study, we're the aerosolized version of the virus is the thing to watch out for. It's not enough to socially distance or wash your hands. The virus can be floating tiny little particles in the air for hours. Wear your mask. Wear your mask all the time. Don't take it off. Wear it all the time. You don't have to wear it in here. But as soon as you go out the door, you put it on and you leave it on. Mm-hmm. Our gym is opening up, you know, next week. And they're not requiring masks. And I'm thinking, people are going to be huffing. They're going to be puffing.
See, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
You can go to the gym, but I can't go sit alone at my pool. I'm so irritated.
Isn't that weird? You can't sit alone because your pool is a communal pool.
It's not communal. I mean, it's a private
It's the
club,
apartment.
But there's no. It's just a
the club.
There's like 80 members. Yeah. But
they won't let you do that.
But yeah, and if you live in an apartment complex, you can't go there either. But you can go to a gym or you can go to a restaurant now, even indoor.
But you
feeding.
Can't go to the pool.
But I can't go to the pool.
We have to invent
first world problems.
We have to invent masks
right
you
now.
Can wear while swimming, while sunbathing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I read this article. And I thought, you know, we just need to people. Don't want to wear their masks. I don't
blame
them. They're uncomfortable.
And it's hot. It's 100 degrees. Nobody wants to wear a mask.
But
we were not.
I know.
I mean, I know the Asian countries, certain ones have been doing
it's working.
For a long time. But
this article was very convincing.
For years.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But
never mind.
We've not.
Forget about it. I'm sorry I even brought it up.
We as a society are screwed.
I'm just staying in. So here I am in my hermetically sealed studio, but now I'm worried about the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get a HEPA filter on there. Who should I start the show with?
How about Gustavo, who wants help with his 20-year-old Mac, I believe.
Oh, as long as it's not his 20-year-old son. I might be able to help him.
You might be able to help his 20-year-old son. You had one of those.
I had one of those. I did.
You're about to have another one.
He survived. Yeah, that's right. And Michael's almost there. Thank you, Kim.
No problem.
Hello, Gustavo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning, Leo. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I think I called on the day I hit the trifecta.
Ah.
Because,
what was the trifecta?
We're all inside and, you know, trying our best not to
good
spread anything outside.
Good.
I'm actually on leave of absence waiting for a couple of surgeries, which obviously the situation delayed, you know, some things. And I'm just, you know, you've been talking this morning about old guys and old tech. And so I'm an old, you know what, so.
So am I. So am I. You're in good company.
I hit the trifecta.
But, okay.
But I wanted to ask you in all seriousness. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. I don't mind being called an old guy. I am an old guy.
Well, you're talking about your 20-year-old son. Yesterday, I was helping my 15-year-old granddaughter put Photoshop in her
computer.
Great. So
what a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. Get them creating instead of just consuming. I think, you know, kids, it's so tempting. There's so much content out there. You could sit and, you know, sit like a vegetable for hours watching it. But if you can get them creating some of that content, man, that's golden. That's golden.
Well, my own personal background is in video production, and I started in studios in the 70s.
Nice.
So I had all my four kids in high school take photo classes.
Good.
Even though they didn't want to.
Yeah. My 25-year-old son now, he is also very much into video production. He's doing farm animals today. He's visiting his friend's farm and shooting farm animals
to make
a video.
That's
yeah, I love it. Yeah. So what can I do for you? You said, she said you had a 20-year-old Mac?
I have a lot of old equipment. As I'm speaking to you, I'm using my old 20-year-old XP to transcode old VHS into digitized, which I'm posting on my personal Vimeo account for the family to watch videos
again,
30 years ago.
Great way to do that. And then everybody can watch it. They don't have to have a VCR.
Exactly. And it will outlive me.
Yes.
So,
which a VHS tape will certainly not do. So that's good. Good to save those.
So I'm in the middle of that, and what happened was I ran across an old Power Mac G3, if you recall Power Book.
These are the ones, were they the colorful ones that you have?
The black ones.
The
remember
black
Wall
one.
Street one.
Yeah, I had a Wall Street. I loved that Wall Street. Yep.
And I have a Pismo, and it hadn't been fired up in, wow.
The clamshell. The Pismo clamshell. Wow.
That's right. And so I fired it up, and it turned on. It was like, oh, good. And I plugged in one of my very old LaCie hard drives.
Yes, more names from the past,
With a whopping 160 gigabytes on it. And I found bunches of old files that I do not have the tapes to. And I thought, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. I found these things. I'm going to transcode them. And somehow, I don't know what I did, I asked the PowerBook what format the format is on, and it said something about Mac Extended.
Yeah.
And so when I went to close that window, obviously my hand either slid across, the little thing there in the middle of the PowerBook. The name doesn't come to mind right now.
Trackpad, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, trackpad, thank you. And so I must have touched something there. And now, all of a sudden, the PowerBook, as well as my PCs, view the LaCie as if it were a brand new blank.
Oh, that's not good. Hang on, because I got to take a break. Scott Wilkinson's coming up, our home theater guru. And I can maybe help you. I hope I can recover that LaCie in just a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Scotty!
Uh-oh. Can you hear me, Scotty?
I can.
Oh, good. Hey, Scotty!
Hey, Leo!
Okay.
I couldn't hear you over the music.
Yeah, we'll be with you in a sec. All right, sorry about that. Let's see here. So Gustavo you have a LaCie. Is it saying eject initialize that LaCie, or is it just saying there's nothing on it?
The symbol on the screen changed from the normal, what the PowerBook sees as a Mac formatted, it's like switched thing. It turned into this little box that had this, nuclear symbol.
Yeah.
Some sort of a symbol.
You can't
weird.
Read it, yeah. How's the LaCie connected? Is it connected via FireWire?
Correct. Yeah. I'm looking right at
That's
it.
That's the FireWire symbol. Old. You're seeing the FireWire symbol, which is saying, right. I see a drive on FireWire, but I don't know what it is. The lessee, because they made them for Macs, had a custom icon. Ooh, fancy. When you open it, though, you don't see anything in there?
That's correct.
Yeah. But you do see a drive.
I see a drive, but as soon as I click on it, now the PowerBook says, do you want me to format? Do you want me
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's blank. Now it is saying ejector initialize. But the C itself is pretty old, too, right?
Oh, yeah. No, the C, this puppy is at least, I bought this back in the late 90s, yeah. I would say.
So it could very well be that the drive spun up, sort of worked. I don't think it was you're hitting the trackpad. It sort of worked, and then it went, and it's, you know, I can't do anything. It could be the fire. There could be so many things. Could be the FireWire interface. Could be the cable. Could be the drive itself. Probably the best thing to do is open up that lessee box. It's just a standard drive in there. And, yes. And see if you can mount it on a more modern machine. Preferably a Mac, because it will be formatted in a Mac format. A Windows PC won't be able to read it. But okay. if you have a more modern Mac on there, I'll recommend a device that is handy for these things. Because I don't know, lessee used to put all kinds of different things in there. And if it's that old, it might be an IDE drive. It's almost certainly not a SATA drive. Sometimes they use laptop drives, which have power and data on the same cable. But there is something. Oh. You can get from newer tech that will let you hook up any kind of drive. Basically, take a bare drive, the kind you're going to get if you open up that lessee, and turn it into a USB drive. And then you can plug it into a modern computer and at least see if there's anything there. Because I presume that's your question, is how do I get that drive, right?
Absolutely, because those tapes, I half of those tapes that were already digitized from way back then that were part of my work.
Yeah, so there's data on there you want. With any luck, it's not a failed hard drive. I mean, it could be, but it could also be the Pismo. It could also be the cable. It could be so many other things, right?
Yeah.
But just because it's a FireWire enclosure doesn't mean the drive isn't a standard drive. So what you want is there's a device that lessee sells. It's like $30. I mean, sorry, NewerTech sells is like $30. It's really cheap. And it will take any drive, bare drive, and turn it into a USB drive. It's not for long-term use. After a while, you're exposing. It's called the universal drive adapter. You're exposing this stuff to the. You don't want to kill your short circuit the drive or anything. So it's just for like, let's see if this works and get the data off of it. But it's the universal drive adapter. It works with laptop drives. It works with all kinds of old drives, even IDE and drives, which that one probably is an old IDE drive.
It's not that cable you can buy. It's
like a cable, but it has all the different connectors on it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And universal drive adapter.
It's actually a really handy thing to have around because it's got IDE on one side, it's got SATA on the other side, and then it turns into, and whatever it's connected to will be USB. So it's got the circuitry and the little dongle to be USB. And so you can leave the drive out. It plugs into the wall, so it gives it power, and you can leave the drive out and get the data off it. You wouldn't use it for a regular basis, but you could at least. Anyway, go to newertech.com, and you can see that. What is hip? Well, I'll tell you what's hip. It's this man right here, Scott Wilkinson, home theater geek, contributor at techhive.com. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
It's going great.
Good deal.
Great. How's your spit valve today?
Oh, it's spitting. I just saw an article about particle dispersion from brass instruments, and there's virtually none.
Ah, boy, so that's surprising because it's really just a tube, right?
It's really just a tube, but it's basically all the air, most of the air is staying inside the tube. And resonating.
Is that because it's such a long... See, I have my Vuvuzela here.
Oh, there...
Which is not a brass, obviously. It's a plastic instrument.
Yeah, it is.
But it's like a brass instrument in the sense that it's got a mouthpiece, and it's not very long.
And a bell.
And a bell. your trumpet or tuba or
tuba
trombone
is much longer.
Is that all those curves make it longer? So it kind of looks like if you've ever seen a moonshiner's still.
Yes.
It's kind of like that. It's got and it cools the air as it's coming out. And as it's resonating it.
Yes, yes.
And that precipitates
out the problem is the spit valve. The condensation key,
right,
to be precise.
Right.
And as you empty that, then I imagine some particles might go out of that. If you could, I don't think your arm is long enough, but if you play the vuvuzela and you put your hand next to the bell, you won't feel much air at all. Air is not coming out of a brass instrument much. Yeah, a lot of it is being trapped inside in what's called resonance. So
really, some air must come out, otherwise it would blow up like a balloon. All the air must come out.
No.
Yeah, it has to. Where else would it go, Scotty?
Well, the air molecules actually vibrate back and forth.
Yeah, and then they come out the end at some point, otherwise it would blow up like a balloon. All of them. Scott?
No.
Where else would they come out? Oh, you've got valves. They come out the valves?
Well, you've got valves, certainly. You're right. The longer the tube, the less air comes out. And the vuvuzela is probably a bad example of that.
Yes. I actually can feel air coming out. But
you can feel air coming out.
Nevertheless, what you're saying is that those aerosolized virus particles never make it to the bell.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
Unfortunately, the sound makes it to your ear, which is not, in the case of a vuvuzela, a very good sound. This one's from South Africa. This is from the World Cup many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody brought it to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one of the one you gave me.
The other one. Yeah. Remember, though, that how horrible that sound was when 100,000 soccer fans blowing in there.
I wanted to record that sound, man. That was an awesome
sound. Make a record
sound
out of it. Well, anyway, so that's good to know. So you could go to a tuba concert, and even if some of the players were infected.
Yes, you wouldn't get it from them.
Okay.
The problem is they might get it from each other.
Well, that's right, because they're in proximity.
If they're on stage and close to each other, they could easily get it from each other. So that's the big problem.
Right.
Anyway, I wanted to hip you, speaking of being hip.
Hip me, man.
To a really great sale that's going on only this weekend.
Uh-oh.
I hate to do this to people, you got to go out right now and buy this. I'm not hawking this for any benefit of my own. I just think it's a really great deal. TCL, you know the TCL TVs?
Yes.
Their top of the line is called the 8 series.
Yes.
Which is a really great TV.
Is it?
It is. It's one of these TVs that's called mini LED.
Oh.
So it's an LCD TV. It's got LEDs behind the LCD panel in a full array with local dimming. But instead of hundreds of LEDs, it's got thousands.
Thousands.
Tens of thousands. Yeah.
That's the backlight we're talking about.
That's the backlight. Yeah, exactly.
And these are QLED. And not only that, these are QLED.
Yeah,
LEDs.
These are quantum dot as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Really, really excellent TVs. For this weekend only.
This weekend only, yes.
At Best Buy, the 65-inch is half off.
Wow.
It's $1,000 instead of $2,000.
I would imagine you could get this online, or do you have to go into the Best Buy?
No. I'm sure you can buy it online.
Bezel on this thing. It is just like all screen.
Yeah, yeah. And they even have a 75-incher that's $1,800 instead of $3,000.
How much wait a minute. How much is the 65?
Normally it's $2,000. Now it's $1,000.
Wow. So if you're looking for a TV, that's a nice size. It's 4K. It does all the HDR stuff.
It does all the HDR stuff. It's quantum dot, so it's really beautiful, saturated colors, very bright. This mini LED thing makes the HDR and the contrast look much better than most even QLED TVs. It's a hell of a buy. I saw that in my newsfeed this week, and I went, wow. So I really wanted to tell people about it. If you're in the market for a new TV, This is a really great deal.
This is their dads and grads sale because it's
exactly.
And you know what? As speaking as a father, I may not be a grad, but I am a father. That is a wonderful gift. I'm just saying. No, it has a Roku in it, which is really nice.
It's a Roku based TV. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you know, if I were in the market for a TV, I would go get this. Best Buy, you know, is doing mostly curbside pickup, so you can only buy online anyway.
Oh, okay. You can't go in the store anyway. All right.
You can't really go. You can make an appointment. At least here in Burbank, where I live, they have a Best Buy, and you can make an appointment to go in the store. But you can't just walk into the store. So you buy it online, and they bring it out. You drive over there, and you text them. You say, I'm here. And they go. They bring it out and load it into your car.
I'm seeing good deals also on Samsungs and other brands. So
yeah, well, it's Father's Day sales. Yeah. That's true.
Is this a good time? Oh, they have the LG OLED. It's not as inexpensive, but
no. How much is that?
Let's see. This is for what size? This is the 65 inch for $21.99, which is still pretty good.
Is that the C9? CX.
They've hidden the.
It's the C9. It is
the C9, which is the 2019 model, not the 2020, which is fine.
See, this is why you need Scott to kind of
decode
all of this. Yeah, because it's the C9. They put the big number on there,
right?
It's this OLED 65 C9 PUA.
Yeah, exactly. That 9, by the way, in some
that's
model
the year.
Number.
Is that the year?
That's the year. Oh, yeah, okay. 2019.
So that's how you
this
know.
Year, all 2020, right. It's the CX.
CX, okay.
But these
LED, OLED panels aren't really making massive progress every year, are they?
No. The big progress is in the video processing.
Yeah.
That's where the improvement year to year comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that 2019 OLED is great. Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic. You know, if you can spend $2,100 or $2,200 on a 65 inch, I'd go for that over anything else, really,
but
in the way
boy,
of a flat panel TV.
Yeah.
But $1,000 for a 65 inch
nice.
TCL Roku nice. TV with mini LED backlight. Fabulous.
Just mini LED is not micro LED, which is
correct.
In the distance.
Correct. It's the size of the LED and the distance between them. You and I saw micro LED displays.
Those are beautiful, but those are years off. They're also very expensive.
Super expensive.
Yeah.
We're talking six figures there.
I think that I heard rumors that Apple was going to start using micro LED in their computer displays. Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
That'd be better, yeah. Scott Wilkinson, TechHive.com, our home theater geek. Thank you, Scotty. Somebody in the I'll let you answer the chat room questions.
Let's see.
That's your job.
Let's go to the chat room here. Sunday, Irvine Bob. Yeah, exactly. I kind of felt like that. Dr. Mom Grammax, yes. Hold your mouth over your lips as you buzz your lips. There is some air coming out of there. There's not much resonance going on. This is the point I was trying to make before, that when you buzz into an instrument, much of the air, believe it or not, actually stays in the instrument. A little comes out, of course, it has to, but a lot of the air molecules that are in there aren't moving in a straight line. They're oscillating back and forth. That's why not a lot of air comes out. So that's why you don't have a big aerosolization problem with brass instruments. The article I saw had an experiment where a trumpet player, in this case, put his trumpet to his mouth, and he had a piece of tissue sort of hanging in front of his instrument, and he blew through the horn, just put his mouth on the mouthpiece and didn't buzz, but just blew, and the tissue flapped, as you would expect. Then he played a note, and the tissue remained still, which proves that when you play a note on a brass instrument, it doesn't it doesn't push a lot of air out of the horn. The air stays in the horn. It's counterintuitive, but it's true. So there you go. That's very cool. Tuba Christmas, sadly, Web 3651 is not back on. For two reasons. One is the tuba players, as I mentioned, the tuba players are packed onto that stage cheek by jowl. And as a result, there's a high risk of transmission from one tuba player to another. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that by nature, Tuba Christmas encourages the audience to sing. And singing in an enclosed space, even one as large as a concert hall, is one of the most dangerous things you can do. Because unlike playing a brass instrument, when you sing, you spew all kinds of stuff. And it goes a lot farther than when you're just talking or breathing. And so, yeah, we could, you know, space everybody out and tell everybody you must sit in every other seat and every other row. But I don't think even that's enough. I really don't. I think that it's too dangerous. So I'm afraid I have to say we're still off. I'm planning a virtual Tuba Christmas. We're going to have something online, something streaming. I will certainly let you know what that is. Let's see. Nightstar remembers that an LACC quite a few years ago. I don't know what you mean there, but I'm very familiar with LACC, Los Angeles City College, where my father worked for 40 years. He was a music teacher there, and then he was an administrator. Let's see. MacBookie says ordered an LG 77CX and Sonos Arc yesterday. Ooh, that's going to be nice. The LG 77CX, man, oh, man, that's a hell of a TV. Beautiful, beautiful. And Sonos Arc, I haven't heard yet, but I bet you it's
great.
Stick
around for the top.
You bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. I mentioned Gustavo, who we were talking to at the bottom of the hour right before Scott Wilkinson. He had a hard drive that suddenly isn't readable. It was an older hard drive. And it was in a FireWire container, enclosure. And he was connecting it to an old Mac that had FireWire still. The nice thing about these enclosures, FireWire, USB, whatever, if it's an external drive, is you can actually unscrew them. they're just boxes with some circuitry and a connector on it. If you open it up, there's a normal hard drive in there. In most cases, now I have to warn you: some lessees and some other devices are RAID devices. They have multiple hard drives in a single enclosure. Those are a little trickier. You'd need the RAID card that is in the box to read it. So I don't recommend it for multiple drive enclosures. But if you have one drive, and you can open it up and look, it's not going to hurt it. One drive in there, it's probably just a standard IDE drive from that era. A Tappy. Could be a SATA drive, I guess. It might be a laptop or a desktop drive. But there is a device, and I've mentioned it so many times on this show. We'll put a link in the show notes. James Ruvo, write this down. It's Newer Tech is the name of the company, and they make something called a drive adapter. It's $44, and it's really cool. It's a USB cable on one end, so you can plug it in any modern computer, and it basically turns any drive into a USB drive. And then the other end, there's a kind of a dongle that has a bunch of connectors on it, including the old IDE connector, a SATA connector. It even has the laptop connector, because laptop drives get power and data from one cable, unlike the older eSATA drives or ATAPI drives or the newer SATA drives. So this little $44 thing, you open up the enclosure, you take out the hard drive, you disconnect it, Turns out it's just a normal hard drive. You'll have to unscrew it. And then you connect it up to this NewerTech drive adapter. Other companies make these. You can find them on Amazon, probably for less. But NewerTech's the one I always use. And you plug it in, and now it's a USB drive. You wouldn't want to use it day-to-day that way because it's a bare drive. It's sitting out in the open. But for the emergency recovery of some data off that drive, if that drive is not dead, could be. It's an old drive. But if that drive is not dead, then this is how you can access it. On we go with the show to line two. Dave in Escondido, California. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hey, Leo. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great, Dave. What's up?
Okay. I'm actually walking through Costco as we speak.
Nice.
The reason I'm calling... Oh, go ahead.
Good. I was just saying, nice. Would you pick up some popcorn for me while you're there? I need one of those 100-pound bags.
Sure thing.
Okay.
So we're looking for a GPS tracking type of watch for my 11-year-old daughter. She's out and about, summertime, roaming the neighborhood, and we want to be able to text her or maybe call her if necessary, and we need something that has GPS. There's a ton of choices out there. I'm kind of overwhelmed by all the different different options, ranging anywhere from about $20 all the way up to $200.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking to spend probably not more than $150 unless there's a real compelling reason, but I'm looking for a recommendation.
I don't actually have any expertise in this area, but there are a ton of these. Now, I would look at the size of them. Your 11-year-old may not want to wear something too clunky, but there are a lot of these. Some of them are designed for hikers. They're called the Spot. There's actually two technologies. Spot is one of them. Some of them are designed that those are for hikers so that if they get lost, they can call for help. Some of them are designed for runners. The GPS watches for runners like Garmin are all about, you know, monitoring your run and your distance and all that stuff. I'm not sure a sport GPS watch would be exactly what she would want, especially an 11-year-old wrist. That's going to look pretty clunky.
I know Verizon makes one called the Gizmo.
Yeah. So there are some designed for kids, actually quite a few designed for kids. And it's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, and it's for that age. But look at them because they are big. They make them colorful and, you know, plastic, and they can play tic-tac-toe on them and stuff like that. So it's, you know, I guess that's a good thing. I think it's a really great idea. Since if you don't want to give a kid a cell phone, which ultimately would have the same effect, and an 11-year-old, you probably don't want to give a cell phone. I think.
Well, that's what I'm finding. I gave her my old 6 Plus Apple phone, and she just will not carry it with her. She's, you know,
yeah, it's too clunky.
T-shirt running around on her bike. So
yeah, I don't blame her. Yeah. There's one called Find My Kids. A lot of people like it. It's for that age group. It's waterproof, has a very long lasting battery. That's about $79. The Verizon Gizmo is very similar. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they're rebranding it, although they charge $100 more. So
So
check out the Find My Kids, which is a lot less expensive. I think you can find it on Amazon.
I was looking at that one.
Yeah, and I think it
has the advantage of actually having service included in it.
They don't charge you a monthly fee. Of course, Verizon, the whole point of this is to get that monthly fee for you. They even have one with a camera in it if she wants to. It's not going to be a very good camera, but if she wasn't, I would just get the basic one because the chance of it getting lost and all of that. And remember, the more features you have, but do look at the video because it is big. It's clunky. And she didn't want to carry the 6S. She may not want to wear a big old clunky watch. She could. There are tags you can put in a backpack. Does she wear backpacks around all the time?
Not really.
Okay. Okay.
I would like the option to text her and say it's time for dinner, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, some of these you can even why the Verizon's more expensive. You can actually call it. It's got phone service. But I would, you know, so that's up to you. I'll tell you what, if you go to findmykids.org, there's a big blog post with a bunch of different ones in here. That's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, that's where I found it.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Okay, so
I don't have any experience because my kids want to get lost. They're older now. And actually, once they get in their 20s, you might want them to get lost. They're on their own recognizance at this point. But and they didn't have these when my kids were little. I think it's really great to, you know, have that information. You know, you remember when we were kids, we'd go out. Mom said, just be back in time for dinner. And could be anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I want her to be able to have that experience.
In hindsight, it feels kind of like risky. We're just wandering around. But and maybe somebody in the chat room said, maybe you carried a dime so you can go to the payphone and call home. I don't think.
Oh, my God.
Those,
we're both showing our age here.
It's, what's hysterical is it isn't even that long ago. But times have changed so dramatically for your kids' generation. It's such a different world they live in.
I know. Yeah. Constantly telling her the things that I didn't have.
Yeah. I remember going into banks. I remember we'd go inside. There'd be people there.
If you got a sec, I have a funny story about her when she was four. I was driving her home from daycare. And I was telling her that when I was a kid, we had the phone that was attached to the wall with a wire. And if you wanted to talk to it, you had to stand in the kitchen and talk on the phone. And she said, Dad, why didn't you just pull up a chair and sit down? And
Well, now that's a legitimate question. Have a seat, Dad. The phone was on the wall. The phone was on the wall. We had to stand. it's good to talk to you. I think this sounds like a really good idea because this way she gets to be a free range kid kind of, but you also kind of know where she is. And I think that's really a good idea. They have there's all sorts of features. There's geofencing in some of them that, you know, will give you an alarm. If a kid leaves a certain area, you can say you can go everywhere. Mm-hmm. I remember my mom would say, you don't cross the street. You can go anywhere on the block, but you can't. I must've been a little smaller than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember those days. So you can do that with the technology as well. It'll say, hey, she just crossed the street. Hey, get back here.
Right,
anyway,
exactly.
Have fun with your 11-year-old. It's a great age.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Liz.
Nice to talk to you, Dave. Take care. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll take a break. News at the top of the hour. More of your calls right after this. All yours, Scotty W.
Hello there. Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, Web5362 just asked, could I please go over planar versus magnetic wired headphones? And I just wrote him a note saying, well, actually, those are sort of two different names for the same thing. Planar headphones are often called magnetic planar or planar magnetic. Basically, they're a... Inside the headphone is a flat membrane that vibrates and makes the sound. And in the case of a planar magnetic, the membrane is suspended between permanent magnets. And the membrane is conductive and it gets the audio signal. And that causes the magnetic field around the membrane to vibrate, which interacts with the permanent magnetic field and causes it to vibrate. Then there are electrostatic headphones, which are similar, flat membrane in the earpieces. But there's an electromagnet around them, not a permanent magnet. So they're very similar. They sound generally really, really good. Very clean, very clear, very open sounding, both of them. I can't say that I've done any sort of extensive comparison between the two technologies to determine which is better than the other or what the difference is. They're both pretty expensive. They're much more expensive, generally speaking, than dynamic driver headphones. That's how that is. I've heard plenty of great dynamic driver headphones, though. So, you know, there are headphone buffs that are way, way into this. And you can go to innerfidelity.com is one place for that. What is the other place? I'm trying to think of it. Headfi.org. That's it. Let's see here. Hawks Post says, my six-year-old 60-inch Samsung plasma just gave up the ghost. Bummer. That's a plasmas are great. Were great. Love the picture quality. Just ordered the Vizio PX Series 65. How does it compare with TCL 8 for around the same price on sale? I don't have a lot of personal direct experience with a TCL 8. I do know that it's at least as good, if not better, than the Vizio. The Vizio's great, don't get me wrong, but it is an LED backlight, and the TCL 8 series is a mini LED backlight. So it's got many more LEDs in the backlight and smaller zones. So there's less chance of haloing around bright objects on a dark background. Without doing a direct comparison, I would have to say I'd probably vote for the TCL. Where I would go to look that up to sort of see it, to compare if I could, if they do it, they probably did, is artings.com, R-T-I-N-G, artings.com. And they do a lot of TV reviews. I just looked up the TCL 8 series review on there, and it's the 2019 version, which may be the one that's on sale now. I wouldn't be surprised. Since, as we saw, the LG OLED C9 last year's 2019 model is the one that's on sale as well. So they're probably trying to get rid of inventory. And I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive that the 8 series 2019 was also mini LED. So anyway, I'd go to Artings and see if you can look at a comparison. El Huero says, I just got a pair of Hi-Fi Man Ananda headphones. Ooh, I've been meaning to try those. I haven't yet, but Hi-Fi Man is well known for magnetic planar headphones. So I bet you they're going to sound great. Hi-Fi Man is very well regarded. Zufi just got some JBL wireless Bluetooth Live 400 series. Very good. Okay, cool. I'll see if I can get my hands on those to try them out. Twisted Mister. Good point. Off angle TCL versus Vizio. Samsung has a layer to help that. It's true. None are going to be as good as OLED. I answered a question earlier that asked the difference between an LG OLED and a TCL 8 series. And one difference certainly is off axis. OLED's going to be a lot better off axis than any LCD. I don't know what type of panel TCL uses. I'll have to look into that. There are two types of LCD panels. One is called IPS, in-plane switching, and one is called VA, vertical alignment. In-plane switching has better off-axis performance, but not as good blacks. And VA, as you might expect, has exactly the opposite. Better blacks, not as good off-axis. Samsung uses VA, but they have some sort of layer that improves the off-axis response. I don't remember what TCL uses. I wouldn't be surprised if it's VA, because that's what most TVs use. LG is unusual in that respect because they use IPS. I think Vizio uses VA as well, but I'm not 100%. I'll have to look back on that. But in any case, off angle between the two, I couldn't tell you definitively. So sorry about that. El Huero says, ooh, the Ananda with the hip DAC. Oh, man, that must sound awesome. And bought a balanced cable. So clean, I bet. Oh, man, that just will sound incredible. Incredible. That's great. I looked into, I think El Huero was the one who you told me about. What was the name of that audio company that had balanced in-ears and cables? And I tried to contact them, and they never got back to me. They're in Oregon, I think. So Corpse is the name of a cable company. I haven't heard of them, but I do want to get a balanced cable because I want to try the HipDAC with a balanced output. So I'll look for that. Shortwave says Artings. That's right. Artings does TVs and headphones and a few other types of products, as I recall. Mike Kai says TCL makes their own panels. Really? That I didn't know. So you suspect VA. I think that's probably true.
Scotty, thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure.
Have a great day.
Happy weekend.
Happy Flag Day.
Indeed. Happy Flag Day.
That's tomorrow.
All right. See ya.
See ya. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, backing up your VHS tapes, getting old hard drives to work. 8888, ask Leo is the phone number. GPS watches for kids. I don't have any experience with that, but if anybody does, that'd be great if you want to call in and suggest a brand you liked. I'm just reading it off reviews from sites, but... you know, it's a good idea. I think it's a cool idea. The other thing people sometimes do with kids, still not cheap, the watch that we talked about was $79. That's a good deal with no subscription. But another way to maybe do this, actually, I don't know, would be Apple's phony phone. what do they call it? The iPod with the screen. It's basically a smartphone without the smartphone technology. It's the last iPod, the Touch, I guess they call it, the last iPod they still make. But it's not cheap. It's a couple $100. The idea of the Touch, though, is it's got a fairly modern chip in it. You can put apps on it. I bet you it doesn't have GPS in it. That would be probably too expensive. So maybe it isn't a good idea. But a lot of kids who want phones are happy enough with a Touch. It's about $200 because you can put music on it, put games on it. It's got a nice little 4-inch display. Works with Apple Arcade. Works with iOS 13 even, so you could do FaceTime. So you could still call them if they. And then you'd have to put a LTE chip in it too. I don't know if it does LTE. I don't think it does. I think you have to do it in Wi-Fi. So you know what? Get the watch. Hey, get the watch. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. Line 4, Tracy, Long Beach, California. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Leo. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
I really need your help.
Okay, I'm here for you.
I'm wondering if I maybe got a virus or maybe ransomware on my iMac 27-inch from 2015.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it wouldn't start up, really. When I did get it to start, it would show, like, the don't symbol, like a zero with a line through it, you know?
Yeah.
Where the Apple
is. It means it can't see the hard drive. Yeah.
Right. So then I started it in the safe mode, you know, pressing the Command R, and ran whatever it suggested I run, and it didn't seem to say it had any problems. So I saw that if that still didn't work, that I should reinstall the OS, and which I did, and it does turn on now, but it takes about an hour to turn on the computer and get to where it's actually
running. you have a worn out hard drive, that's all. No virus.
Okay.
And it's not ransomware, because ransomware has one distinct feature. They say, give us money.
Well, that's the thing. I started immediately after that happened the first time. I started getting calls, like 15 calls a day from a weird computer voice, and it said the caller ID was from Apple LC.
Wow.
And so I was like, oh, what is that? Is that related?
No, it's not, obviously. Yeah, Apple doesn't call you. And what is the voice? What is the computer voice telling you? Hello.
It was just, yeah.
You
sound better than it did, actually. But it was very bizarre sounding voice, and it was basically saying that, you know, we've noticed there's some kind of, you know, tech. We got some kind of notice from your computer.
Oh, that's interesting.
That effect. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, wait a minute. What?
Well, first of all, you know, it's not Apple. That's definitely not Apple.
No.
And it's so annoying that the hackers have gotten so lazy they don't even bother calling you in person. Now they just robocall you. But that's the other reason I would not be too worried about it. A robocall, you know, if they really had hacked you and they got your computer, they would do a better job of of calling you. Okay, so I think it's probably just a coincidence you're getting a robocall. But it, does it? What does it ask you to do? Does it ask you to call them back?
I think it said, like, you know, push a button kind of thing or whatever to be connected.
Yeah. So. I think it's much more likely that's just coincidence. There's, you know, this is an old enough computer that the hard drive could easily have died. And the problem is hard drives is they don't die like 100% like, I can't do anything. It could simply be that the sector, that the one sector that it uses to boot up the system is unwritable and is gone. And that one is kind of in a fixed position, so it can't be replaced. So you were able to write the operating system. It kind of got going, but it's trying desperately to read those sectors. And that's when you see it being really slow. It means that it's going, come on, give me some data. Come on. And it, I got the data. Now it's going to the next sector. Oh, come on, give me some data. So the slowness is slow. It can kind of read it, but not very well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because it takes like 10 seconds to like when you click on something.
Yeah.
To like even acknowledge that you clicked.
Here's the really good news. Tell me what kind, is it, you said it's an iMac?
Yeah, iMac 27-inch.
Oh, shoot.
And here's the deal, too. I'm a photographer, or at least I was until recently, and I have a lot of images on my computer, and I'm just kind of hoping that I can keep all my images, so that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, okay.
And I do have iDrive, and I do have a RAID system backing up, but they haven't been on lately. For some reason, I don't remember exactly what happened. But
so you don't have a recent backup, but you have a backup.
Yeah, so I'm not like, not everything
it's not the
would
end
be gone,
of the world.
But a lot.
Because
a lot of stuff I don't want to lose.
There's two issues. One is it's very hard to replace a hard drive in an iMac because the iMac, you need a giant suction cup because the way the iMac works is that big glass panel, your 27-inch panel, the only way to get to the hard drive is to lift it off. And so you need a giant suction cup. I've done this. It's ridiculous. A giant suction cup, like the kind they had in Mission Impossible, you know, when he's, you put that on the window and you score, you use a diamond. Yeah. And then, so you need a giant suction cup. There's actually companies that sell the kit with a giant suction cup. Remove the panel, go inside. It's a non-trivial thing. If you go to ifixit.com, you can watch videos and decide whether you're in the mood. Otherwise, this is a repair that Apple can make very easily. You just replace the hard drive. In fact, this would be a good time to put an SSD, a solid-state drive, instead of a spinning drive. It actually would make that 2015 iMac pretty much as fast as any modern iMac.
All right. Well, that sounds like I'm going to have to do that. But I don't think the Apple stores are open still.
You could call them, and they do drop-off and pick-up for a repair. Or they'll even – shipped my phone back to them. But I don't know if you want to ship an iMac. It's kind of
right. It's huge.
Yeah, you'd probably big ring it in and drop it off. They have curbside service, I think, now.
Okay, great.
So just call them. And then the other thing is, you tell them I want the drive back because your photos, all that stuff's probably still readable with some effort. So you can get at the device I was talking about earlier, the newer tech thing that you plug in the drive to and plug it into your computer after you get the repair. And you might be able to, using drive recovery software or just patience, be able to get the photos off of it. It's what it sounds like is that the damage to the drive is where the operating system and the boot stuff is. And so it is booting and it's running. It's just really slow.
Really slow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate that you're here for all of us.
No virus, I don't think, anyway. It is a weird coincidence that those robocalls came, but how would they know your number? How would they do this? It's just not likely. And if they...
If they got on my computer, they could probably find a lot of
If they cared that much, they'd call you. Yeah. But they would then do something a little bit better. When you hear a robotic voice, that means they're calling at the same time thousands of numbers, hoping for one sucker. So it's not, don't worry, Apple LC. They left out an L, LC. And I think Apple's an Inc., but anyway, okay.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
All right.
Yeah. Don't worry about
it. Thank you again.
Sure, my pleasure. I'm glad you listened. Thank you. Take care, Tracy. Our show, robocalls, that's so lazy, right? You got to have some pride in your work, you know? Make an actual phone call if you're going to scam somebody. Don't use a robot. Don't use a robot. Although I did read, and I think I mentioned this last week, that scammers often make their scams obvious. Like, they're not trying to hide the fact that it's a scam because it's a lot easier to scam people who are suckers. So they make their scams obvious so that the people with half a brain go, that's a scam. And anybody who falls for it, now we got something. Hey, we got. And it's usually, it's sad to say, usually not dumb people, but older people or people who are not technically savvy, who haven't listened to this show. And those are the people who they want, right? The people who are. So tell your friends and family, you know, don't fall for that stuff. There's a robo Apple LC. Come on. Take some pride in your work, you know? Put some effort into it. Please. More of your calls. And Johnny Jett, our travel guru, coming up. The Tech Guy Podcast brought to you this week by LinkedIn Learning. We all like to learn, right? You listen to this show, I hope you're learning something. LinkedIn Learning is the best way to learn all kinds of things. I've been a LinkedIn Learning subscriber for a long time. I've talked before about all the courses taught by the best in the business. Many of my friends teach there, photography and Photoshop. But it's not just that. There's more than 16,000 courses on LinkedIn Learning. And skills that are not just techie skills. You'll learn how to master working from home. Timely, right? Entrepreneurship foundations. How to be a resilient leader, to name a few. Wouldn't you like to learn 10 ways to stay motivated while job hunting? That's a good one for my son. He's looking for work. This is a bad time to be looking for work, but this is a great course for him. Or digital network strategies. These are free courses. Marketing on LinkedIn. Managing in difficult times. Productivity tips. I'm definitely taking this one. It's called Grit, How Teams Persevere to Accomplish Great Goals. Grit, that's all you need. It's all at linkedinlearning.com/techguy. In fact, if you go there right now, you'll get customized course recommendations. And what I love about it, it's not just some old video somebody threw up on YouTube. These are courses planned and shot professionally. You get additional materials like project files. Of course, there's quizzes too. So, you even get a certificate that you can put up on your LinkedIn page profile to show that you've got these skills. And you can watch them anywhere, on your computer, on your phone. LinkedIn Learning, it's the place to go to grow your skills, to grow your career. The best instructors in the business, as I said, I know a lot of them. And these guys are engaging. They're smart guys and gals. And they know their stuff. And after you take these courses, you will know your stuff. You'll also connect with a global network of experience. It's just a great place to hang out. Hang out with the learnings going on, right? And keep getting those skills you need to rise to the occasion. 1 month free for you right now, linkedinlearning.com/techguy. See how many courses you can take in that free month. Well, linkedinlearning.com/techguy. If you've got some free time, and I think a lot of us do these days, put down the bagel and go to LinkedIn Learning. Or you can actually bring the bagel with you. That's the nice thing about learning at home. You can do it in your jammies. LinkedInLearning.com/TechGuy. We love LinkedIn. We love LinkedIn Learning. We thank them so much for their support. Thank you for the support, too, by going to that special address. That way they know that you saw it here. LinkedInLearning.com/TechGuy. Now on with the show. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Lady Laura, our musical director, says, we're going to play some songs from this millennium. Thank you, Lady Laura. I like the oldies too, but then the other thing we like to do is play songs from musicians who've passed, and of course Bonnie Pointer, the Pointer Sisters, recently passed. So we'll find some. I know you can make it. I know that we can. We'll play some Pointer Sisters. I love the Pointer Sisters. On we go with the show. Line 3, John Ridgefield, Connecticut. Hello, John.
Hey, Leo. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm following up on a call you had a few weeks back of a young lady that was trying to add a ringtone to her iPhone.
Yes.
And you had mentioned that there was a way she had it on her computer and that she could somehow record it onto her phone and then save it.
Right.
And that would somehow, and I've been futzing around with that without much luck. What app would you record it with?
You have an app called GarageBand that comes with all iPhones. And unless they've changed the features, they are constantly changing their features, but unless they've changed their features, GarageBand will allow you to record via the microphone, and it will allow you to save out what you've recorded as a ringtone. So I think, you know, it took me a while. I remember talking to her. We went through all sorts of permutations, but I realized, oh, you already have everything you wish you need. Because she had the recording on her computer, and she could play it back. She played it for us. I'm not sure I'd want it as a ringtone, but...
I did the same thing. I saved it some time ago. And I saved it as a M4R. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's a ringtone. That's so if you already have it as an M4R, then it's just a question of getting it into the phone and in the right spot. And you can do that with iTunes when you sync up. Nowadays, we don't use iTunes. Again, Apple changes things so fast. But when you sync your phone to your computer for music, you can also sync it for ringtones. And an M4R is, truthfully, it's the same exact format as, you know, the Apple's AACs, the M4As. But by putting an R in there, it's signaling to the phone, use this as a ringtone. They're very sensitive. You can just rename an M4A to an M4R, and then it'll be playable as a ringtone. They're very sensitive to this because phone companies make a lot of money. I don't know if they still do. I think people have gotten wise. But for a long time, this was a big profit center, was charging you $1.99 for ringtones. And often, it wasn't even a one-time deal. You'd have to pay a subscription to play a ringtone. And this was a windfall of millions of dollars for all the phone companies. Annoyed me no ends, because anybody can make their own ringtone. It's very easy to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind paying for it, but it was from an old TV show.
You're not going to be able to buy that. Yeah. So I think GarageBand will both record and save it as an M4R. But if you already have it as an M4R, just use the same way you get music on your phone by syncing it from your computer on a Mac. They've taken away these iTunes, and now it's in the Finder. It's complicated. On a PC, you still use iTunes, and there's a way to, you can actually check a box that says ringtones. So as long as that ringtone is in your music collection and iTunes can see it, or music, in the case of the generic music can see it, on a case of a Catalina Mac, then you should be able to copy it over, and it worked just fine. What is it? Is it the Rockford? Somebody in the chat room says it must be the Rockford File theme. That would be a good ringtone. Dee 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 dee.
Yeah, here you go.
Oh yeah, that's actually a great ringtone. That's the old phone sound for.
Well, Jack Bauer there, the old 24 CT.
It's the 24 sound. I love it. Actually, that's a great ringtone. You can't miss it. And you know it's a phone, too. The ringtones that sound like songs, it's like, is that a phone or just somebody listening to some music? I like that.
Well, you see, you're in a crowded room. You know it's your phone.
Yeah, right. Or Jack Bauer, if he happens to be there. Yes.
There you go.
And if he is, I would get out quickly. Trouble seems to follow that guy.
Yeah, he's bad news.
Bad luck.
I back up my phone to iCloud. There's no way of dragging it into iCloud somewhere.
You sync with iCloud. You would, yeah. Most, and this is, again, Apple's confused the, muddied the waters, because most of the time now we no longer connect up to the computer. We just do it with iCloud backup. But you can still do that, and you can still copy it over. And as far as I know, that's the only way to do it. I don't think there's a way to get a ringtone on a phone through iCloud. Maybe there is. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you put the ringtone. You know, this would be a good little bit. I do a little mini show for our podcast network called Hands on Macintosh. This would be an excellent Hands on Macintosh. Well, I'll have to put it all together and produce it, because it is complicated. And they've made it more complicated, because now we're in the cloud. I think you still have to sync with a cable to do this.
Yeah, I was afraid that if I synced with the cable now with iTunes, that it might somehow confuse the backup I have synced.
No, just be careful, A, not to back it up. It won't confuse it. It might actually make a secondary backup, and I think having a local backup is a good idea. But you can also, there's settings in there that say don't change the music, don't change anything, just copy the ringtones.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Have fun. Have fun.
Quick question on another topic.
Sure.
Quick one. You had mentioned you're starting up a new computer with a fresh install to turn on the full disk encryption.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah.
How would that work on a computer that you've had running for a year?
Yeah, you could turn it on right now. If you're on a Mac, it's called File Vault. If you're on Windows, it's called BitLocker. Unfortunately, with Windows, I don't think they include it with the home version. You have to have the pro version.
On a Mac, it's File Vault.
Yeah, File Vault. Just turn it on.
Does that impact your backups? I use Carbon Copy Cloner.
Nope. Because as soon as you logged in, Carbon Copy Cloner is not running without you logged in. As soon as you log in, it decrypts it. So it's actually a great way to do that. Just remember that your backups are not encrypted, unless you encrypt that disk as well.
Oh, good to know. Yeah, yeah. You're the man. Thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, John. Coming up, another John, Johnny Jett. We're going to talk about travel. Things are reopening. Johnny Jett has the deets. Coming up. There you go. There's the how-to geek article. This would be a good hands-on Mac. I actually was looking for some hands-on Mac subjects. It's kind of an iOS thing, too, though, right? Yeah. Oh, so you use the music app to create it. Well, that's because it can create M4R phones. Maximum length for an iOS ringtone is 40 seconds. Audio or other alerts, 30 seconds. So stay with 30 seconds. Create the ringtone file. You need to have an unprotected MP3 or MP4 in your music library. It would work with an M4A. Right-click the song and select Get Info. Pick the part of the song that you want. Oh, it's still in there. They haven't taken it out. This used to be in iTunes. Yeah, this would be excellent. I will put that in my hands. Coming soon on a hands-on Mac. I've been looking for some stuff to do. I have to do a couple today. But I think I'll save it for next time. Give me some time to prep it. He's been everywhere, man. He's Johnny Jett. He ain't going anywhere right now. He's been everywhere inside his house, however. Inside every corner. He's our travel guy. Hi, Johnny.
Hello. I do like the song that the reader sent you, and then you forwarded it to me.
It's the new quarantine song, which is basically, I'll see if I can find it. I've been nowhere. Yeah. I ain't going anywhere.
I have been
anywhere.
To the barber shop this week. I've been to
I
the
see
beach.
That. You cut your hair. Wow. Taking your life in your hands. Wear your masks. That's all that matters. Social distancing, washing hands is important, but without mask wearing, none of it makes... Because apparently they're discovering aerosolized germs are the real problem, or a big problem anyway. So.
Yeah, and I also went to my dermatologist, you know, because I had a skin cancer a long time ago on my lip.
You got to get those regular checkups, yep.
And he burned something off my face, but he was on full PPE. I'm wearing a mask, and I asked him, I said, would you get on a plane? He was like, there's not a chance I'd get on a plane. I'd much rather treat a COVID patient than get on a plane. He's the second person to tell me that. And they said, because when you're on a plane, you're stuck and you don't know who has it. You're in a captured area. But, you know, if I had to fly, I would try and book it last minute and make sure, you know, there's not as many people on the plane. The middle seat's not going to make a difference, especially if someone's behind you. And I would try to protect myself as much as I can. But I've had plenty of friends that flew and they have not gotten sick.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's Russian roulette. That's the thing. We don't know. And thankfully, because of all the flattening we've done, there's less of it to go around. But we're starting to see it ramp up again. And
big time.
Boy,
yesterday, by the way,
yeah.
The TSA pointed out. They tweeted yesterday that 502,000 people went through security checkpoints on
That's
Friday
a big
or
jump.
Thursday.
Yeah.
And so that means yesterday would have been even more. They just don't report it over the weekends because I guess they're not working on the weekends. But that number is even going to be higher then for Friday, because Friday and Sunday are usually the biggest days to travel. And also, if I was going to fly, I would try and fly on a Wednesday or Tuesday, which are the slowest. So it's good that it's going. I just like to see what's going to happen in the next few weeks. And also, my doctor was telling me that he's more worried about November, December, and January. So that kind of scared me a little bit, because I was hoping, like, you know, we'd find out by September what's going on. But there's some good news, by the way. American and United Airlines this week both came out with a chat feature. So, you know, in addition, if your flight's ever delayed or canceled, I always, in the old days, you'd tell people to just make a beeline to, a gate agent or the customer service, or even a lounge. If you had lounge access, that's always the best place to go. And then also get on the phone, and we would tell you to tweet the airline. But now you can actually even add, you know, chatting with them. And Delta's been doing this since June, but American and United just did it now. So I just went into my app. It wasn't there. And then I looked, I had to do an update. So update your apps. And then for American, you go into the you swipe up, hit contact us, and then you'll see the chat feature. So if you're delayed or canceled, you know, don't wait around, because, you know, there's not a lot of flights going out these days.
Yeah, you don't. There's not a lot of backup. Do you think so? Hotels are opening. Vegas has reopened. Casinos have reopened. Are people going?
They are. I mean, for sure. I think half of the people, or at least 30 or 45, 40% think it's a hoax. The whole.
Wait a minute. What? how would that explain the 113,000 people who died? Are they just pretending?
I don't know. I don't know. It's almost become a political issue, which is, I don't know how that's ever happened, but.
Well,
it has.
I
mean, the whole thing with masks or what's going to protect you from getting it.
I know exactly how it's happened.
Yeah, and it's sad. It really is sad.
Starts at the top, my friend.
I understand. But Vegas.
A hoax.
Actually, Hilton came out with a contactless. You know, they're telling people that you can now check in, you can check out, you can choose your, you can unlock your door at 4,700 different hotels worldwide.
So, I guess the word to use is it's not safe, it's safer, right? It's not 100% safe. We got some techniques. We got some. Somebody was saying he flew recently. The plane was like super clean. They fog it with a disinfectant. I mean, they're really working hard.
They are.
To make it better. I am not getting on an airplane, but because it's safer. Not.
It's definitely safer. It's cleaner.
It was never safe. Let's face it. There was always the flu. There was colds. How many times have we gotten sick? You got terribly ill because I talked you out of wiping down the seat once, and you made you sick. And I'm sorry. Forgive me. You were right.
There is a silver lining out of this. It is that, you know, I think a lot of those viruses that you would catch on planes normally, you know, you're not going to get them now because they really are cleaning the planes so much better than they ever were. And also because people, when they're flying, they're going to start carrying wipes themselves, and they're going to wipe down their area, and they're going to try and make a conscious effort of, you know, covering their mouth, most importantly, or wearing a mask if they're sick, or better yet, not even traveling when you're sick, and not touching your face.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's kind of better.
You know, I feel bad for all the people out of work and all the businesses suffering. I really do. But on the other hand, I don't want to die to help them stay in business. So we just got to, I don't know. If you have to fly, I guess it's probably all right. How about middle seats? Some airlines are not booking the middle seats. Some are, right?
Correct. So JetBlue and Delta are doing the best job at blocking the middle seat. They have actually stated that they're going to block it until, I think, September or even October. American and United, they went out with a PR, especially United said they were going to, but they really aren't. They were only saying that because there weren't many people flying. Now that they reduce so many flights, the planes are going out full. United is saying, though, if you get to the gate and the plane is 75% full or more and you don't want to go, they'll put you on the next flight. But the next flight could be hours away,
right,
or even the next day. And do you really want to go through security and do all that whole.
Yeah, even that process of getting to the plane is dangerous.
Totally. So
yeah.
I would book last minute and just look at the flight loads. There's a great tool you can use, expertflyer.com. where you have to pay. It's $9.99 a month or $99 a year, but it tells you the flight loads. It also shows you which seats are blocking. So, you know, I was looking at, for my friend who was flying to Australia, which I put on my podcast, I brought up the flight map for her. She wanted to know how many people. I said, it looks like there's only 20 people. And every single middle seat was blocked. And you can see it on that, on that app and on that website. So
that's
a great tool to use.
Good. You know, I see pictures. I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal article about hotels opening. I see pictures of Las Vegas. And the companies are doing a good job. The employees are wearing masks. The dealers are wearing masks at the crab tables. And none of the guests are.
Exactly. That's the problem.
If they made people wear masks to play at the tables or come to the hotel, I'd feel a little bit better. I agree.
One of my friends on Facebook just posted this morning that she flew from Honolulu to Dallas. She said the flight was great. American did a great job that they get to Dallas, and she's flying to Boston, and no one's wearing a mask in the airport, and the American's not requiring people to wear the mask on the plane. And it's really up to the flight crew. And that's my problem, is because if I was going to fly, if this person sitting around me is not wearing a mask, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, the masks, you wear a mask to protect other people. They're wearing a mask to protect you. So yeah. I feel like when people come and don't wear masks, they're just saying, the heck with you. I don't care if you get sick. And that's,
there are some,
I don't want to be around that person anymore. Thank you very much.
A tip last week about, you know, people who weren't not wearing masks are really rude. But one person sent me an email and said, listen, I have a phobia of masks because her uncle used to strangle her.
Okay, I understand. And there's some people, they don't want to exercise with masks. And I understand. Stay home then, because you're exposing me and I don't like it. And I'm sorry about your phobia. Stay home, because if you go out, you need to wear a mask, period. Anyway, I don't know. I'm sorry. You got me on a high horse. Someday I'll come out of my shell. JohnnyJet.com. Follow him. And don't forget his podcast, anchor.fm/JohnnyJet. Oh, my gosh. You got me started.
I was about to talk about the MGM, because the MGM sent out a press release this week saying what they're doing, by the way, which is, you know, even restaurant guests, they don't want people to queue. So they'll text message you when your table's ready.
Yeah, it's hard to eat at a restaurant with a mask on. So I understand the issue here. Maybe just stay home.
If I'm going to eat at a restaurant, it's going to be outdoors.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, right, I agree. Now. Yeah, that's not so bad.
Again, I'm just trying to be, I want people to travel because I'd make money.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put money over
well,
safety.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
That's why I'm telling people, just wait, see what happens.
Well, we're seeing
hopefully this whole thing is not as bad as they say it is.
We're seeing the curves. We're seeing it. Look at Florida. Look at Texas. We're seeing it.
I know.
It's not a question mark anymore. We're seeing it.
I know. Mm. Listen, my uncle died of COVID. I understand.
And we both have elderly parents who are very much at risk. They're staying at home. But I don't want to get it. I don't, you know, you saw this 20-something woman who had both lungs replaced. It's a terrible disease. Nobody should get it, period.
My buddy got it in early March or February, and he was on a ventilator for nine, I don't know how many days. It was either 5 or 9 days. And he recovered remarkably, but he's actually now just having like a relapse. He's having, yeah. he just put out his Facebook that he's having some problems again. And
it's a nasty,
that's scary stuff to think about that.
It's a nasty bug. You don't want to get it. Well, anyway, I mean, you know, I'm fortunate. I can work and I can stay home. And I'm a little worried because now we're learning that I put a blog post up. We're learning that the aerosolized version of it does stay in the air and lasts for a long time and is particularly virulent because it goes right into your lungs. So they're starting to think that, yes, the aerosolized version is harmful. And that's why masks are so important. So important.
I think people are going to start traveling with N95 masks. I think they're telling people not to now because they don't want to take them away from the healthcare workers. But I think they're going to eventually tell people, although you have to wear an N95, it has to be properly fit. And I guess it's not an easy process, but I think that will be the future.
Well, all the health officials agree, even a homemade cloth mask is fine. Even, you know, it's better than nothing. I don't think you have to require N95s. I think you need to require people wear something. Something is better than nothing. Yeah, it'd be great if everybody had N95 masks, but that isn't happening. And believe me, as people, as the hospitals start filling up again, which they are, the masks are being in short supply again. And PPE is now once again an issue.
Yep.
So, Joey in San Diego. Hey, Joey, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
How's my hero doing?
Oh, Joe, it's good to talk to you again. I'm doing great. How are you?
I got some problems. I always look forward to talking to you.
It's getting to be a habit now. That's good. I like it.
Leo,
I'm sorry you're having trouble, continual trouble with your technology, but I'm glad I can talk to you anyway.
You know what? I don't have trouble because I know how to use YouTube. I know how to,
Yes.
I'm like John C. Dvorak. I will get rid of it if it's not working,
Good.
I don't have attachments to stuff.
Yeah.
But it gives me an excuse to call you.
Oh.
A lot of times I just make stuff up.
Oh, no, don't make it. Okay, Joey. How come Joey can keep getting in? And even it's just that you're just a good dialer, I guess. Do you dial a lot to get in, or you just get right through?
No. It took me like 45 minutes.
You got to work hard at it. Yeah.
A lot of times. I'll try to call about 20 minutes before you come on, and then,
Kim, I don't think Kim gets here till right about the beginning of the show, so I don't know if that's going to help.
That doesn't mean I always...
That fast, busy tone, the do-do-do-do-do-do one sometimes? Because that means the trunk is busy. There's so many people calling, they can't even give you a regular busy signal.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm glad you got through. What can I do for you today? Did you make this one up?
I just bought a new Apple TV.
Nice.
I'm an Apple fanboy. By the way, I'd like to say one thing, Leo.
Yes, please.
And I know I am talking to the wall, and I know nobody's going to listen to me, and nobody's going to care, but I want to make a mini social statement here.
Okay.
I think Apple is wrong for not inviting you to their event and giving you an invitation.
Oh, it's okay. I'm not going to any events these days. That's very nice of you. Well, I don't know how I got on their bad list.
Because you tell the truth.
Maybe I'm not the...
You're not a poser.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's fine with me.
But for them to do you like that, when you walked in that weekend, I'll never forget, and you gave the iPhone 10, one of the best recommendations that you can give a phone, and you were 100% correct. So then I went out and bought the phone because of that.
Aww.
Because you always...
Well, here's the thing.
You tell the truth.
I'm not going to like them less because they don't invite me either. I'm just going to tell... And I don't honestly...
But it's wrong.
I'm in a position in my career, Joey. I appreciate that. But I'm in a position in my career now.
I know
now.
You don't care. I don't care.
Yeah,
it's
I don't care.
It's more of the right thing to do.
Well, what I have said is...
I have three programs on your network for Apple. I know they're listening to you.
We do the most listened to Apple podcast of all, Mac Break Weekly. I do an iOS show with Micah Sargent. That's all about iOS. I do a show called Hands on Macintosh. It's all about using the Mac. And frankly, this radio show reaches many more people than any computer magazine ever did or any blog ever did. But it's not, it's Apple's decision.
Unfortunately, Leo, they're not going to fall apart.
Yeah, they don't need me. They're almost,
company in the world.
They're worth $1.5 trillion now. We made a big deal when they got to a trillion. They're on their way to two. Unbelievable. Even in a dying stock market, they're on their way to two because they make good stuff. And I'm a fan. I'm an Apple fanboy, but I also call it as I see it. And if it's not great, mostly, as you know, Joey, I don't like to deal with public relations people because they're selling me something and I just want to try it.
You could sit here for the rest of the night and say why they don't give you an invitation. You don't care. And they don't. It's wrong. Okay, you should be the first one to get an invitation.
Thank you, Joey.
Because it doesn't make sense. You're advertising for him, for heaven's sake.
Well,
it's free advertising for him.
I don't know why they don't. It's their choice. And to be honest with you, I don't think you gain any. You don't gain an advantage by going to those events. I have to say, I am really glad I saw Steve Jobs in his prime, introduced the iPhone, I was there in the audience, introduced the iPad, I was there in the audience, introduced the iPod, I was there. So I saw the best of Apple's stuff. I don't really need to see Tim Cook and company try to convince people that you don't need a headphone jack. I don't really need to be there for that. I can see that from afar.
Leo, even if you decide you don't want to go, you should have an invitation sent to you.
Oh, you're very kind.
Even if you use it for toilet paper, you should still get the invitation because you deserve it.
Thank you, okay? Joey. Thank you, Joey.
One quick question before you cut me off.
Yes, sir.
I just bought this Apple TV.
Yes.
And Leo, I got an older TV, so I think I might need a new TV. It ghosts out, Leo, right in the middle of the TV. It's like the contrast. It just happened when I plug this.
So the whole screen is dim or
not
just a...
Funny. Around the outside, not so much.
Oh, that's weird.
But if you're right in the center, it's like... I mean, if you look at it a certain way, you can still use it, Leo, but it's not... You can tell that the screen is like...
No, that's not right.
More of a question.
Yeah. And are you using an HDMI cable to connect the Apple TV?
I got a DVI that converts over.
Oh, that's the problem right there.
If the TV is so old, Leo.
It's so old you don't have HDMI.
I don't have HDMI.
Yeah.
It's a flat screen, though. Can I maybe get a... do the RCA thing? You think that would help it?
No.
Yeah.
Well, it might be. Yeah, you might get a different result. I mean, the Apple TV has one output, and that's the HDMI digital output.
Right.
And
right. I've got a cable that
DVI is still digital. So you're saying the TV takes a digital video in DVI?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's still digital. It may be the converter you're using is not full quality.
I don't have a converter. I don't have a converter.
You just have a cable that goes from HDMI to DVI?
I bought it off Monoprice. It goes from... HDMI to...
The other thing is, I don't know why it would affect just part of the screen and not the whole thing. And everything else looks normal on your screen.
Yeah, it looks normal.
That's strange. I don't know why it would only affect the center part.
It's kind of like the center part is... I don't know, is it shadowy or it's like bright? It's real bright, you know? And, you know, I went in and I played with the settings. But
Joey, after all those nice things you said about me, I don't think I have the answer to that one. I don't think I know the answer to that one.
Maybe Scott Wilkinson will know something.
Yeah, I've never heard, or somebody listening.
I don't have to get another TV, but I think that.
I've never heard that happening. Now, you heard Scott say what a good deal on the TCL there is right now, $1,000 for that 65-inch. That's a great TV.
But that's a big one, huh?
It's gigantic.
Like 28-inch.
Yeah, it's ginormous. I'm thinking it probably, but I don't know why it would affect all the part of the screen.
It's got to be something with that DVI cable, huh?
I'm thinking that's what it is, or just the TV itself is not, is having trouble with the backlight.
Well, here's the thing, though. Yeah, it could be. That's what it, but Leo, I had a Apple, the converted, the Apple TV, the one that, the PC with the... It takes the place of a PC. It's small. It's Apple.
The Mini? The Mac Mini?
The Mini.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put that on. It works fine with that.
Oh, that's that's really weird.
Yeah, it works fine.
I don't know. I wish I knew. You know what, though? How long ago did you buy the new Apple TV? Because there's a strong rumor that Apple's going to announce a new Apple TV in a week.
I just got it.
Okay, good. So usually Apple stores, if they have a new one within a couple of weeks... We'll trade you. So cross your fingers. June 22nd, Apple is going to have its keynote from WWDC. It's rumored that they'll announce new Apple TVs, a new iMac, and maybe other stuff. And, of course, the big story, which we'll cover, is Apple's shift away from Intel chips to ARM chips. I'm sure they'll talk about that, too. That's a week from Monday. So you might be in luck. You might be able to get a new one for free. Joey, a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for the very kind words. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. The Tech Guy Podcast, as always, coming to you from our fine LastPass studios. And thank you, LastPass, for your support. I got to say, they're keeping us on the air, which I really appreciate. They're also keeping me secure and our company secure. You probably know the name LastPass. It's the ultimate password manager, but it's also much, much more. And it's there for you anytime you need it. LastPass can help you prepare for the unexpected, like sending a lot of employees home from work. I'm so glad we used LastPass Enterprise, because when our employees went home, I didn't have to worry about the security of our logins. I mean, our employees have access to our bank accounts, our websites, our data, everything, right? But they do it through LastPass, which is fantastic. Even if you're not using LastPass now, LastPass can be deployed quickly, like takes you no time, in the midst of any event, and it helps you make sure your business keeps running smoothly and every employee login is secure. Now, I mentioned the enterprise-grade password management, which, by the way, is great for business because it gives you shadow IT oversight. It gives you enforceable policies across all your accounts. We, for instance, require two-factor, but there's lots more. You know, we have minimum password requirements, things like that. But there's things that employees love. Well, besides the autofill and LastPass, the, you know, frankly, I put it whenever I get a new device, a new phone or a new computer, it's the first thing I put on there because it helps me set the rest of it up like that, you know, and just automatically paste in the logins to all the sites, all the apps, everything I use. But they also have something called single sign-on. And I tell you what, this is fantastic. If you've never used a single sign-on app, that's where you go to the app, you log in, and then it says, sometimes you don't even have to give it a password. You say, here's my email. And it says, all right, I popped up on your phone an approval. You press yes, you're in. It eliminates passwords. It smooths the way for employees. Employees love it. I can tell you right now, I love it. But it's more secure than just a password. It's really awesome. It also gives IT insight into who has access to what, who's doing it from where. That's important. They also support multi-factor authentication. If you're using a VPN, for instance, having LastPass secure the password adds to the security of the VPN. LastPass can even require multi-factor. So, for instance, to get to my LastPass vault, I use face recognition on my iPhone or my Pixel 4. On my iPhone SE, I use fingerprint recognition. There's even additional contextual authentication techniques. LastPass uses geolocation and IP address and so forth. All of this designed to make sure that the employees logging into your vital stuff are really the people who should be able to, and not some stranger, right? Businesses need right now to be thinking about additional layers of defense beyond the password. LastPass is there for you. Never sends or stores your password, your master password. If LastPass can't get to your data, that means bad guys can't either. Only you have that. That's really important. And it's only decrypted. Your password vault is only decrypted on device. So it's always encrypted before being sent, uploaded anywhere, and only you have the password. I think that's really huge. AES 256, strong encryption, is the same kind used by the military and banks, is really good. And it does the one thing that I think is the hardest to do, which is better security and more convenient. And I love LastPass for that. LastPass can help make remote work simple and secure. Go to lastpass.com/twit. Find out how they can help your business stay productive and secure no matter what. We need it more than ever right now. I'm so glad we use it. lastpass.com/twit. We thank them so much for supporting the Twit Network and all we do here. And I thank you for supporting us by using that address when you sign up for LastPass. lastpass.com/twit. On with the show we go. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, hour three of the Tech Guy program. Lots to talk about. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number, 888-827-5536. If you want to call in and say hi, get you on the air here. We also have a website where all the answers and all the questions are. It's techguylabs.com, and you can leave comments there, too, if you have an idea for an answer to some of the questions we've heard from earlier. techguylabs.com. No sign up. It's free. Just pop on in there. There's a good search. Audio and video of the show goes up there later as well. Somebody had a thought in the chat room. I thought this was kind of interesting. For Joey, our last caller, that maybe it's HDCP at work. The copy protection on high-def signals, HDCP, one of the things HDCP, High Bandwidth Digital Content Protection, does is it checks every component in the chain to make sure it's HDCP compliant. That would be the Apple TV, check. Your television, maybe. The cable, probably not. And what HDCP does is it lowers the resolution. If it says, if it plays at all, sometimes it says, I can't play it. And we've probably all seen that because, unfortunately, as always with copy protection, it's janky and it frequently fails even when you have all of the parts perfectly set up. It says, So I've seen that. We've all seen that, right? It can cause all sorts of errors. But it will intentionally cause an error if you don't have all of the right equipment. And it's funny what it does. Sometimes it'll just block it. But also, in theory, it will downgrade it. So you might see unauthorized content disabled. But you might also see a 480p signal with lower quality picture. And maybe that's what's happening. In fact, I'm guessing that is what's happening. It would be why Joey could hook up his Mac Mini, which is not an HDCP device, but clearly he's playing non-HDCP content through it, and it looks fine. Yeah, because it's not copy protected. I hate copy protection. It doesn't work. It doesn't slow pirates down. It doesn't slow the bad guys down. They know how to strip it out. They have no problem with it. The only people copy protection ever hurts is honest users trying to just do something like Joey is. I want to watch my Apple TV on my old TV, and it's not high def content protection enabled. I'm going to guess that's what it is. And thanks to the chat room for the pointer to an Apple support posting that kind of pointed us to this. Big event for Apple coming up a week from Monday. Their Worldwide Developer Conference. They're streaming it. It's not going to be a live event. It's going to be streamed over the internet, so you can watch on YouTube. Our podcast network will do what we usually do, which is kind of comment along as they're streaming it. Give it our take on everything. And it should be a very interesting speech. 10 a.m. Pacific, Monday the 22nd. Because, first of all, we haven't heard from Apple in a while, right? They haven't had their traditional events or anything since last fall, for obvious reasons. And I think they have a lot to announce. I think the rumor is they'll have a new iMac with a bezel-less screen, gorgeous screen. Gosh, I hope they don't, because I don't want to spend the money. But I hope. On the other hand, I hope they do, because I wouldn't mind having a nice new iMac. Rumor there'll be a new Apple TV. There might be other new hardware. I suspect they'll make some announcements about the HomePod, their little speaker that hasn't done all that well. But we'll also hear from them, according to a rumor, and I think this is an accurate rumor, about their plans to shift away from Intel chips. As you know, Windows and Mac computers right now use chips from Intel Corporation. The i3, the i5, the i7, you've heard of those, the Xeons and some of the higher-end machines. Apple also has its own chips based on the ARM architecture in its iPhone and iPad. And in fact, the chip in the iPad Pro that Apple designed is, in many cases, faster than the chip in their MacBook Air, the Intel chip. It's faster, it's lower power, which means better battery life, lower heat, which means you can have more flexible designs. And I think Apple, you know, they have 1,000 engineers in their chip division. They bought a big chip company, PA RISC, some years ago. They've been working really hard to make their custom chips, the A, you know, 10, 11, 12, better and better and better. Desktop class almost. And I have a feeling they have the capability to go to desktop class. They hate the fact that they're tied to Intel's fortunes. Intel's been struggling. They can't get their chips fast enough. They haven't been able to iterate. And Apple's, you know, frustrated. Not to mention they'd save money by making their own chips. And, you know, which is good for the bottom line. And Apple's very aware of that. And they can make these chips fit the need perfectly. And this is where Apple's really done well in the iPhone and the iPad. They take stuff out of the chips that would be in general purpose chips because they know it's not going to happen on an iPhone. They don't have to worry about flash. Adobe Flash doesn't come on the iPhone or the iPad, so they don't have to worry about it. So they don't have to put any circuitry in to make it faster. And that's made the chips better, too. So there's a lot to be said. Steve Jobs always said, if you want to make great hardware, you got to make the software. If you really want to make great hardware, you got to make it all. And Apple's coming close. They still outsource some chips. This would also help them, right? I don't think they'd make the ARM chips, but they'd like to design them. But it would also help them. Maybe they don't have to make them in China, which is becoming problematic for Apple. So this is going to be interesting. We'll find out. A week from Monday, I'll talk about it the following weekend. 8888-ASK. Leo, back to the phones we go. Evelyn's on the line from Van Nuys. Hello, Evelyn. Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for hanging on while I gassed on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a long time.
I know.
I have a Lenovo computer. It's probably 6 years old, but I'm having trouble with the keyboard. And it's a Logitech keyboard. Not good.
No, those are very good.
Oh, when I type, the letters repeat themselves. So
yeah.
I have to watch.
You type T-H-E and you get T-H-H-H-H-G.
Absolutely. Yeah. What can I do?
Well, it's a separate keyboard, right? It's not. It's one you bought. You could go out and get another one. They're not. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a keyboard. You could literally get another keyboard for $10.
Really?
Yeah. And it's probably when you start seeing that. I mean, it could be. It's a variety of things could cause that, but usually it means the keyboard's ready for the bin.
Okay.
But is it a wired keyboard or a Bluetooth keyboard?
It's a wired.
It plugs into the back of the computer.
Yeah.
Because sometimes radio keyboards might have that problem more. There is, and you said it's on a Macintosh?
No.
It's on a PC?
It's a Lenovo PC.
Oh, the PC's Lenovo. Of course you said that, yeah. So you might check in the settings in the control panel and see if you can turn the keyboard sensitivity down, or sometimes there's an accessibility setting that might be affecting it. So if you really don't want to buy a new keyboard, check those control panel settings for the keyboard. But it happens, you know, they wear out, they get dust in there. And the good news is a new keyboard's fairly inexpensive. Logitech makes great keyboards. They're a little more pricey because they're a brand name, but you can go on Amazon and search for Bluetooth keyboard. Any keyboard will work. They don't need drivers. You just plug it in, and it'll replace it. It could be it's dirty, but it's so easy to replace a keyboard. I'm kind of tempted. I have a very expensive Macintosh, Apple iPad keyboard. It was $350 for the iPad Pro, the Magic keyboard. I spilled tea on it. Tea with honey. Now, the good news is it's not a powered keyboard. So I immediately took the iPad off, so there was no juice going through it, so no short circuits, right? There's no battery in it. And I tilted it up to let it dry out. But now I have some sticky keys, probably where the honey landed. And I'm very tempted. Don't do this, but I've done it in the past with success, to run it through the dishwasher. Now, don't do it with soap in it. Don't do it with other dishes in it. You don't want to get more food in there. But just run it through a quick cycle in the dishwasher. I've fixed keyboards that way. Now, the key is you got to let it drain and get it really dry. I mean, maybe wait a few days before you use it, because any moisture in there is going to be risky for the electronics. So until you plug it back in, make sure it's really, really dry. And don't use a hairdryer on it. Just let it air dry. But I've had good success. Now, I've also ruined keyboards doing that. So I'm not recommending it. I don't want anybody to ruin their keyboard. But sometimes it's probably easier just to go out and get a $10 keyboard. Easier even than trying to figure out what's wrong. Just get a new one. Our show today, thank you for the call, Evelyn. I appreciate you hanging on. It's not an unusual, unfortunately, it's not an unusual symptom with keyboards. This is one of the ways they fail. It's just a bad electrical signal. So Chumley in the chat room says this is actually something that happens to Logitech's. The membranes, after a few years, bust. How do you fix it? It's not debouncing. It just stays down. It's not coming back up. Yeah, I think it's worth getting a new. And the good news is, they're cheap. Let me just go look at a. Key USB keyboard. Here's one for $16 from HP. Amazon's basic keyboard is $13.99. There's even a Logitech with a mouse for $15. Might as well, get the new mouse. And that's Prime Delivery, so you'll get that tomorrow. And actually, that's a nice keyboard, the desktop MK20 or 120. Keyboards are cheap. It's actually amazing how cheap they are. Amazon's basic is $13.99, but pay $1.50 more, you get a mouse. The Logitech Desktop MK120 Durable Comfortable USB Mouse and Keyboard Combo. And they'll have it delivered to your door by Tuesday. Oh, that's a good point. So Tali mentions, Evelyn, in the accessibility settings, if you hold down right shift for 8 seconds, it'll ignore repeating keys. So if you're typing slower and maybe holding the key longer, which sometimes happens when you get less mobility in your fingers, that accessibility feature is nice. Hold down the right shift key for 8 seconds, and then it will ignore the repeat. That might just fix it. That's a really good point. I should mention that. I'll mention that when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. A good tip from Tali in our chat room. Sometimes as your fingers get less mobile, and this might be helpful for Evelyn, it gets harder as you're typing. Sometimes your fingers stay on the key longer and it starts repeating. Now you can, in the control panel, turn down the repeat rate. But there's also, for this reason, there's an accessibility feature in Windows. If you go to the accessibility control panel, or actually you could do this without even going in there unless you've disabled it. If you press the right shift key and hold it for about 8 seconds, it will disable key repeat. It'll say ignore that. That's a good tip. And that's in the accessibility section, because people with different abilities sometimes can't move their fingers quickly enough to avoid the repeating keys. So you can turn on filter keys, which ignores repeating keys. Again, that's hold down the right shift key. This is on Windows only for 8 seconds, I guess is what they say. But, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. It'll actually beep at you. I might even pop something up when it turns on the filter keys. That's a great tip. And then we found a Logitech keyboard at Amazon. It's actually a keyboard and a mouse for, what was the price? It was $15.44. The MK120. It's a nice keyboard. It's another Logitech. And it's a mouse, too. It's always good to have an extra mouse. I always like having a mouse ready to go in case the one I'm using fails. $15.44. Amazon says it sells a keyboard. It's a Amazon Basics keyboard for $14. So I get, $1.50 more, you get a mouse. You get a mouse in the deal. So that filter keys might be a good solution, especially if somebody's having mobility issues. If you can't move fast enough to avoid those repeating keys, that's the whole point of it. Mint on the line from Ashton, Idaho. Hi, Mint.
Hi, how's it going?
It's great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, on that keyboard thing, if that's truly sticking, though, she won't be able to type the next letter.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good test, right? If she goes to the next letter and it's still typing then that's a stuck key. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
No reason to suffer with a bad keyboard. They're so inexpensive. Just get a new one.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
mine usually if I'm repeating a key, I've fallen asleep and my
my nose is on the keyboard.
Yep, I've never failed.
Or you have a cat. Every once in a while, somebody in the chat room will be watching. All of a sudden, it's brrr, all these letters and numbers, and then it's pretty obvious they've got a cat.
Yep.
I don't know what it is with cats and keyboards. They love them. Kitten on the keys.
You walk across the keyboard and you're like, ah!
Stop it. What can I do for you, man?
You know, you were talking about some travel, and my wife and I are starting to travel a little more. We're actually going mobile as far as our trailer. I've got the cell amplifier and all the things that go with it. But with my business, I want to have two monitors. And inside of a trailer, two monitors is kind of an issue because of the space it takes up.
Right.
So I'm looking at virtual reality. Are those monitors that they pop up in virtual reality, are they good? Can you see? Can you read the text?
I don't think so. You can read the text, but they're not made for text. They're not made for computing. They're really made for gaming or watching movies, maybe. And here's the problem. Your eyes are inches away from that screen. And even if it's a high-res 4K screen, and very few of these VRs use that kind of resolution, you'll see the dots. You're right up next to them. So, I wouldn't use it for a keyboard. You know, you should maybe look at having a tablet. Some tablets can be used as a second screen. And in fact, we had, and John, our engineer, has this. He loves it. I think it was from Acer. And it's a portable second monitor that looks basically like a tablet, folds up, but when you need it, you just take it out of the, you know, you unfold it and you set it up and you plug it in.
Yeah.
It's a 15-inch monitor. It's kind of a neat idea because, let's see, it's the Acer PM16-1Q portable monitor. And it folds up, so you can put it on a cupboard or whatever, and they're not very expensive. About $150. Asus makes something similar, a little more expensive. So that might be the other option, is either get a tablet. I use an iPad, for instance, as a second monitor with my Mac. Actually, there's software that lets you, like, it's called Duet, that lets you use it with Windows as well. So if you had an iPad, you could do that. Or for $150, get a foldable, portable. Actually, I'm seeing one from AOC that's $100. That's really inexpensive, and that's USB powered, so you don't need anything special. You just plug it into the USB on the keyboard, and then that way you just put it away when you don't need it. Is it a laptop you're using?
No, it's a full PC.
Okay.
I'm running CAD software. So
the you do need that. Yeah. In fact, a 15-incher might not be enough for you, would it?
Yeah, I'm currently running 227.
Yeah.
And,
there are some companies that make 27-inch tablets or 20 fold. I bet you there's portable 27-inch monitors. That's not a bad way. But VR, no. I wish it were, but it's not. Line 3, Jim in Conroe, Texas. Hello, Jim.
Oh,
welcome. Hey. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, about an hour, so that ain't too bad. Oh, well, anyway, you're talking about an Atari. Well, I have an Atari.
Oh.
One of the original Ataris I got when I was a kid, you know.
Wait a minute, like the video game one, the video game system?
You know, I had the Pong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the Pong. Now, my question, can you hook that up to a smart TV?
Well, you can, but you're going to have to get an adapter. So the Atari... This takes us back to the good old days of television.
Yeah, I know. You hit the Pong and you wait a few seconds before it.
Yeah. This was back in the days when TVs all had antenna connectors, two electrical things where you'd have your rabbit ears on the TV or you'd have something else, and you'd connect those with a little cable onto those antenna connectors in the back of the TV. So that at that time, when the video games came out, that's the interface that they had. It was a wire coming out of the back of the Atari that has a little box on it with those two little wire connectors that you would screw into your TV. And you could actually even add that to your existing antenna so you could have both. Now, there are ways to get that to work. That is what we call a composite output. But you're going to need to get a composite adapter because most modern TVs don't have composite in. Composite is a pretty old. So there was composite, and that's also what the red, white, and yellow connectors were. Red and white for left and right, yes. Stereo yes. sound, and the yellow was video. That's that yellow thing. And I think some Ataris eventually had that yellow composite connector as well, so you could connect it directly to your TV, if my memory serves.
Yes.
So you'd need a composite. No modern TV has a composite input. A little better than composite, you might remember, was S-Video. That's also analog. Eventually, they got to component, which has that red, green, and blue connectors. Still RCA connectors, but a little different. And then finally, we got to digital, full digital, which was DVI and HDMI and all those. So what you're going to want is a composite to digital converter, which is actually not going to be, it's probably going to cost more than the Atari does.
Oh.
let me see if I can find one. We mentioned Monoprice, which is a very good place to get this kind of stuff. Composite AV to HDMI converter, $15. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. So you're going to have to look on the back of that Atari, see what's coming out of there. If there's a yellow RCA jack, that's good. That's the easiest. If it's the old antenna jacks, well, then you're going to have to get some other box that you can connect that to. But then that will go into a composite to HDMI converter. Don't expect great video, but hey, Pong wasn't great video anyway, was it?
No, it was fuzzy. Yeah.
There's an article the chat room has found on a site called Atari Age, which is for us aged Atari players, I guess, on how to connect your old video game system, and it has everything you need on here. I'll put that in the show notes. AtariAge.com, how to connect your old video game system. That's great. That's very timely. It talks about the adapters. It's pretty much what I just described, which is depending on what's coming out of the back of that Atari VCS. If it's the antenna adapter or the composite adapter. And they suggest you go to eBay or Best Electronics if it's a proprietary switch. That's the biggest problem. I like the Atari 5200 had a special switch box. It was proprietary. But I think the 2600 did not. If my memory... Boy, those are the good old days, huh? Holy cow. We'll put a link up in the show notes to both of those articles. Ed in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ed.
Hello, Leo. I have an iPhone XR. And I've had Chromebooks and I have a regular desktop computer. But I was wondering if I could do the same thing with my iPhone.
What do you mean, same thing? What would you like to do with it?
Plug it into a monitor.
Use it like a computer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no. It's a great idea. Well, you could cut. Wait a minute. I take it back. You could. But you'd need, you can't, there's no cable because, you know, it has a lightning connector. That's it.
That's fine, but you can get that.
Oh, you can't get the lightning to HDMI. No, you're right. Yeah. Apple sells a lightning to HDMI. You're right.
And then you can use a Bluetooth keyboard, and couldn't you,
I guess you could.
Mostly. Is can you take, because I don't need another Chromebook and I don't need another desktop. You know, I'm trying to be as cheap as possible.
Sure.
So if I took my phone and I plugged it in through the cable to get it to my monitor.
Yep.
And then I took the Apple keyboard and I did it Bluetooth. How would I, like, would I get a full screen? How do I do that?
No, in fact, I think you get a screen that's the shape and size of your iPhone.
If you turned it sideways?
That's a good question. Yeah, Apple sells for $50. I bet you can get it cheaper. The Lightning Digital AV adapter, they call it, which has, or you can get it with an HDMI cable. So depending on what you want to connect it to. And then it also allows you to power the phone because you'd want to plug it in. So you can plug it to any monitor that could support HDMI. I have not tried it, so I don't know what happens. If you turn it sideways, the aspect ratio is not going to fill the screen no matter what.
But still, it's going to be bigger than the iPhone, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I need. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. That's a really interesting idea. You know, Samsung figured people were going to do this. They created something called Dex, which is a device, and you can get these cheaply if you have a Samsung phone. You plug into the USB-C port. It has USB and other stuff out of it, including HDMI. And the Samsung phones come with desktop software. So it'll actually fill a screen. It's got icons. It looks a little like a stripped-down Windows. And you can run your apps on it and stuff. So it's actually a good idea. It's not a weird idea at all. You're carrying in your pocket an iPhone XR. That's a powerful computer. It seems silly to have a separate computer, but Apple's never really kind of focused on this. Samsung has, and they've got a word processor, a spreadsheet, you know, that look like desktop applications with Samsung Dex. I don't think it took off. I have a Dex puck that Samsung sold that does that. But then somebody mentioned, well, you know, you can get these on Amazon that'll work, and they're cheap. They're just little USB-C connectors with the ports on them. They look like little docks. And I tried it, and yeah, $15-16, you can get a little device to plug into any Samsung phone and turn it, you need a keyboard, mouse, and monitor, but turn it into a computer. I wish Apple would do that. That would be very cool. You'll get something, you know, and as long as the apps you're using turn sideways appropriately, not all of them do, remember. It just depends what you want to do. All you want to do is surf the net, well, I don't know, will Safari, if I turn it sideways, will Safari turn sideways? I guess it will. I have mine locked because I hate it when it does that. Yeah. And then it's kind of more like a, you know, it's a little weird. It just looks like you're looking through a mail slot instead of a full screen, but it'll save you money. And frankly, that iPhone XR is as powerful as an older desktop computer. It's really more powerful than a lot of even new computers. Clever idea. You know, you just need the right cabling. Lightning to HDMI, and Apple sells that. 8888 Ask Leo. One more segment. Oh, actually, don't bother calling because I think we've got the Gizwiz coming up, don't we? Yes, we do. Stay here. Welcome to the Gizly Wonderland with the Gizwiz. It is Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer, and our own Gizmo Wizard joins us every week to talk about a gizmo or a gadget. Hi, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing?
I am great. Yesterday we did something we've been doing. We have a After Hours, our podcast network, ever since quarantine has been doing a Twit is the name of it. Twit After Hours. And we've done it a couple of times now with you. We do Dick. Some people don't know this, but Dick saved the match game by writing, you know, the match game was about to be canceled because it was boring, because the questions were boring. Dick said, let me write some good questions, some funny questions. And you saved it. And it's still on the air.
Another 8 years. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So nothing you do on TV ever dies. I've learned that. So,
no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, they were still showing the Canada show I used to do. They were still showing Amber MacArthur showing me YouTube for the first time. And I'm going, wow, this is great. Where did you find this? This is so amazing. And I think people seeing this would go, Leo, that's YouTube? You never heard of it? What kind of tech guy are you? But that we recorded that in 2004, but it still goes on the air, and people think I'm an idiot. Of course, I do a good job of that all by myself. So
You know, I wanted to mention one thing. You were talking about your Atari, and I had 800.
Yeah, the
and
800.
There was one thing in the book that I have never, ever forgotten. When you open the Atari 800,
yeah,
it says your Atari comes with 8K of memory.
Yes.
This will be good for pretty much anything you decide to do with your computer. But if you want to add 8K more, it's just $100.
Oh, my.
For another cartridge. And then if you wanted to go more, then you had to swap out two 8K and get a couple of 16K because it could take up to 48K.
This computer had not one, but two cartridge slots.
Yes.
That's pretty special, man. That was I love that. That was really my first personal computer. That thing changed
mine
my
too.
Life. Yeah, yeah.
Mine too.
What a toy that was.
Yeah. So, Leo, I have a quick way to repair glasses.
Oh, I need
one
it?
Of them. One of them you might remember. So anyway, I know you remarked that you like these glasses.
I do.
And I have a pair of magnifiers that look very similar to them. And the little screw that holds, I think it's called the temple that goes over your ear fell out.
Yeah, that always falls out. It's like, come
it
on.
It always falls
out. Figure that out. Why is that always falling out? I have a pair right now that's missing its temple piece screw. What can you do for me?
Okay, I have two solutions. One was I could not find this repair kit anywhere, so I went on Amazon. And I bought a temple repair kit for $10 that comes with 1,000 screws, washers, nuts. It is
no pair of glasses that you cannot fix.
No, or computers, or any small project. It comes with 6 magnetic screwdrivers.
Holy cow.
It comes with a little keychain screwdriver that's both slot on one end and Phillips on the other. Comes with tweezers, a cleaning cloth. And then I fix my glasses. And then, of course, I find an old box in the warehouse, and I find the kit I had been looking for. Turns out you and I did this 10 years ago. The lady who invented it, it's very clever. The kit is called Snap It.
Snap It.
And I remember interviewing this woman, and I know how much it costs to get a product to market. I said, what'd you spend? She said, I mortgaged the house, everything I have. I spent $250,000.
Whoa.
Okay. Snap It is a screw for your glasses with a long handle on it so that you drop that in the hole, screw it in, and the long handle snaps off very easily.
So it's a one-shot deal.
Yes, and you get about 5 of them of different lengths in the kit. Fortunately, I hope she made her money back, but fortunately, the kit is still available. So she must have done well because we talked about it in 2010 and it's still up there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Snap
but
it.
But how much is the Snap It? I mean, how much for all those screws? It's 1,000 screws.
1,000 pieces. It was $9.99.
$10? That's a tenth of a cent per screw.
It is.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what neighborhood that was. But anyway.
As you say on your blog, last week you got screwed with something you bought on Amazon. So this week you're just buying a lot of screws.
I just bought screws. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's one warning on the box, which is very clever. Make sure the label faces up when you open this box.
Oh, yeah.
The label facing down.
1,000 screws everywhere.
1,000 screws and washers. And it comes with clear plastic washers and metal washers. It's amazing. If you're into computer repair or anything, I think this is a great thing to have.
If you can, fix the link on your website.
Is it broken?
The Amazon link. It's not broken. It just it goes to something called Light It by Fulcrum.
Okay. I will fix that.
So that's obviously something coming soon to a GizWiz near you. But I would like to buy these for $10, although I could just bring it to the opticians and she would fix it for me for free. But still,
Then you won't have 999 extra screws.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes. What a deal. 6 different screwdrivers.
Magnetic. And now the interesting thing, some of the screws are magnetic and some of them are not. And I looked up online, they're stainless. And it said, well, there are many kinds of stainless.
You can't. Yeah, exactly. Some of them are magnetic. Some of them are not.
And some of them are not.
We've learned something today.
We did, yeah.
I'll tell you who's magnetic. This guy right here, his website is gizwiz.biz, gizwiz.biz. He'll have that link fixed if you want to buy these 10,000.
I will. I'll do it in the next
5 minutes. Screws. Click the GizWiz visits the tech guy. But while you're there, while you're waiting, go to the What the Heck Is It contest, chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine for identifying this weird gizmo or gadget. There's only a couple weeks left to do that. It runs out end of June.
And you're playing for a very special issue. You're playing for the All Al Jaffe.
He retired this week at the age of 99.
And I called him up. I said, Al, what are you kidding? What are you, a wimp?
This would be the last Mad with original any original content, right?
Actually, yes.
I think they said that. I think he's retiring
because
they don't need him. Shame on you, DC, making a 99-year-old man retire. Shame on you.
And deliver the issues. I think that hurt him the most.
Yeah, get your Mad here. Get your Mad. He's out on the street. So this is good. This is definitely one you want to get. And autographed by Dick, too, which makes it special. That is an all Al Jaffe issue. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Dick T, thank you so much. Gizwiz.biz for all of that. His podcast, Gizwiz, is on gizwiz.tv with Chad Johnson. Now 15 years of solid gold podcasting.
Wow. Well, 10. I'll go
10. At least 10. Some of it's lead. Some of it goes over like lead, but it's there.
That's true.
Yes,
right.
I was on a few
magnetic.
Of them. Yeah, right. Pick it up with your screwdriver. Thank you, Dickie D.
Okay, buddy.
Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Thanks to Lady Laura, our musical director. Well done, Laura. Thank you to Kim Schaffer, our phone angel. Well done, Kim. And thanks most especially to you. I appreciate your being here each and every week. I'll be back next time. I hope you will, too. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.